Hey y'all, it's Jack from 102.7 ESPN's Game Time, inviting you to watch the FIFA World Cup 26 with Michelob Ultra for the next USA match. It's win or go home for Team USA, and the action happens at Little Woodrow's Tech Ridge, Wednesday, July 1st, starting at 5 p.m. Michelob Ultra will be on site with a lot of fun and Ultra giveaways. Michelob Ultra is a superior light beer and the official beer sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 26. Be sure to enjoy an Ultra as you cheer on Team USA this Wednesday at Little Woodrow's Tech Ridge.
From the 102.7 ESPN studios in Austin, Texas, this is the Jeff and Ed Show.
Hey, welcome to our little show. Here's the way it works. I riff on stuff and you respond. It's pretty straightforward. Call or text. Keep it up. 512-834-1027. That's 512-834-1027. You can follow me on Twitter as well. We don't say X around here. If you do, the producer freaks out. On Twitter, I'm at Jeff Ward Show. It's a good idea for you to post your comments. We just prefer you not suck with those comments. So be interesting, compelling, snarky. Just make the show better with your comments. That's at Jeff Ward Show. Subscribe to the podcast. We drop it each afternoon. The Jeff Ward Show podcast is available wherever you download podcasts. And even though I look a lot like Shrek, we post a segment to YouTube as well. Subscribe to it, The Jeff Ward Show on YouTube. You know, I think we look at NFL teams in extremes, I think probably far too often. And I think it's more nuanced than that. So The Athletic today, and it is interesting. It is nerdy, but it's got some direction to it. The Athletic today listed the one outstanding question for each NFL team. Now, of course, I'm not doing all 32 because you don't care. And here's the thing. So if I ask you that about the Cowboys and the Texans, I think the answers back are pretty obvious. But let's do it as an exercise. So the one question, right? What is it? There's some nerdy business talk here. Leo Burnett used to write about, an old famous advertising guy would write, Leo Burnett would call it the unique selling proposition. So, but what is the one question for the Cowboys that has to be answered? What's the one question for the Texans that has to be answered? Here's the great thing about the two teams. It's one thing, right? It's not a bunch of complicated things. You're not going to say, well, the Cowboys need this and this and this. No. And the Texans, to be honest, don't really need that much more either, do they? So what is it, everyone? The one question for the Cowboys that has to be answered. What is it for the Texans? The one question that has to be answered. So it really is. I know people would look at the Cowboys and look at the Texans. Certainly with the Cowboys, you think they're really close. I don't think that's the case. It's a matter of degrees. It's a matter of objectivity. For Dallas, here's what close means. Here's what means closing the gap means they make the playoffs. Now, face painters, of course, don't see it that way. Face painters of the Cowboys think it's either the greatest team ever assembled or it's the worst team ever and everyone has to be fired. Here's the reasonable way to look at it. Let's start first with Dallas. Can they get 2 to 3 games better? I know it doesn't sound like much, but it really is a lot. Can they get 3 games better? How would they get 3 games better? And if they're 3 games better, they're a playoff team. Not a very good one, not going far, but they're a playoff team. So, you know, every team, every year a team, there is a team. This gives hope to everybody. Every year there is a team. You go back and look at the last several years in the NFL, there is a team that somehow, some way has flipped a switch and has gone from bad to good or bad to really good. The Patriots, think about this. And no, I don't think it happens to Dallas. I don't, because you can't suck on defense. You can suck on offense. You can't suck on defense. The Patriots went from, what, a 4-win team, I think it was? Yeah. to the AFC champions. So you're going to go, well, yeah, Jeff, why not Dallas? Well, that's a matter of degrees, see? I don't think that's very practical. The Patriots got a lucky schedule. It was a charmed life for the Patriots. They go to Denver and play against Jared Stidham. That's a charmed life. You don't get that very often in the NFL. So for Dallas, could Dallas get 5 or 6 games better? I can't see it. Could they get 3? Yeah. Answer the one question, and you can get 3 games better. Here's what The Athletic says about your Dallas Cowboys. Do they do enough to fix their defense? Duh. The defense doesn't have to be really good. The defense has to be less awful. Do you hear that? It's a matter of degrees. If the Dallas defense is just pretty bad, Dallas can make that 3-game difference up. Their defense is not going to go from awful and trash to great. They're not going to turn into the 85 Bears. But what you're asked, the real question to ask is, how do they get 3 games better? And that's it. Just don't be trash on defense. Be pretty bad on defense, but you can't be trash. Trash, the example of trash defense is Russell Wilson comes to your stadium and he passes for 460 yards. Oh, I know you won. Only because your quarterback passed for 560. That's trash. And you don't have a very long life in the NFL that way. But just be not as awful, and you might win those 3 games. I know, doesn't sound scientific, but it's that simple. They went out and got some players. Do I think they were great acquisitions? I really don't, no. But if they're not awful on defense, they win 3 more games because they're great on offense. It's a very their setup is simple. Guess what? The Texans' setup is equally as simple. It is one question. One. Do we not know what that question is? It might be the Texans might be the simplest issue. Now, I'm not saying it's simple in terms of you know it gets better. I'm just saying you know what the one problem is. There's just one. They have one problem. Or otherwise, they're playing in the Super Bowl. The Athletic says, have they done enough to help C.J. Stroud take the next step? I don't think that's the right way to word that sentence. I might say, can C.J. Stroud not suck when it matters most? See, he doesn't have to be great, just like the Dallas defense. He just needs to not suck when it matters. You know what's amazing? I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but this is how frustrating it is because the window is closing on them. I don't know how much more you get. I really don't. Dallas is chasing 3 wins in a playoff spot. The Texans need to be chasing a Super Bowl spot. And there's only one thing stopping them. Their quarterback vomiting in the playoffs. Here's what it says. I mean, this is, I believe they had the best number in the entire NFL for this stat. All right, they held playoff opponents to 17 points. I didn't say all opponents, playoff opponents to only 17 points. They held playoff teams to 270 yards a game. If you do that, by every metric, you should be staring at a Super Bowl game. I mean, that's how awful their quarterback was. And even then, they almost made it. But look, all Dallas can do is not be as bad on defense and win 3. With that number with the Texans, you just need your quarterback not to be a train wreck when the games matter. That is a crazy good stat and frustrating stat at the same time. They held playoff opponents to 17 points. So, neither team they can't go anywhere else. The Texans aren't chasing another quarterback, although they should have chased one at halftime in New England. Dallas can't chase any more better defensive players. This is it. Those are the questions. play better on defense, Dallas, and you win three extra games and you get to a playoff. You get bounced, but you get to a playoff. C.J. Stroud, don't throw the ball to the other team in mass doses, and I think they play for a Super Bowl. And then the window closes. I don't know how much more they get. I don't know. Then you got the other 30 teams that it'll make your face hurt. But, I mean, really, it's interesting. Of all the teams in the NFL, their questions are just this, as simple as they can be. They have, both teams have one issue, like one singular problem. Dallas is just like the person you know that says, you know, I'm really good tee to green, I just can't putt. That's kind of a problem. Dallas says, we're great on offense and kick. We just can't play defense. All right, 512-834-1027. On Twitter, it's at Jeff Ward Show.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements. Afternoons 4 to 6 on 1027 ESPN.
How do airplanes fly? What's in this box? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Learn how to store your gun securely and make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Jeff and Ed Show on 102.7 ESPN.
All right, today in the World Cup, it's 2-1. Norway beats a really good Ivory Coast team in a game that was just, it was up and down. It was incredibly well played. It was a pleasure to watch. Norway is too big, too strong, I mean, ultimately. And then France, there's nobody better right now. I'm sorry. They just come in waves. It's ridiculous. It's 2-0 right now, the 57th minute against Sweden. And France has already hit the post six times. I mean, it could be, it's a pretty good Sweden team. And France is too good. It's the best team in the tournament right now, and I don't even think it's very close. Now, that doesn't mean you finish that way. But the players they run out there and how they dominate, it's absurd. The Twitter we go, at Bevo Bob 123 tweets, you don't get to play both of your games at the same stadium. It's the regular six bowl games for the quarters and semis. You get to pick which bowl games to go to. Right. Okay. I thought that was understood. That's if you're the first seed, and only, apparently what Heather Dinich is saying is only if you're the number one seed in the tournament. Can somebody tell me what is the point of the bowl games? Calling them bowl games, playing at, quote, bowl game sites. Seriously, I want to know an economic argument here. Go. Crickets.
Corporate background or backing.
But why couldn't I have that anyway? Like, why, if I'm, let's see, give me a project.
Allstate Sugar Bowl is what.
Okay. But if I'm Allstate, I'm buying the quarterfinals, why don't I just buy the quarterfinals? You're playing in the Allstate quarterfinals.
And you wouldn't have to rent out the stadium.
Exactly. That's it. I mean, I'm buying, at least the few deals that I saw like this, you're buying. The reason why the conference championship games don't go away, largely, and I can't say it's only them, but it might be only them, is because Dr. Pepper is saying, we monopolized an audience for a day. We got exclusivity for that audience for a day. So we made a deal, and we're spending X amount of millions, so you guys are playing. But if Allstate says, you know, we're looking for 16 million between the ages of 18 and 30, you know, 18 and 54, blah, blah, blah. I'm buying the quarterfinals, or I'm buying the afternoon game of the semi quarterfinals. What does it really matter where it's played? I don't get that. You can get a gift basket anywhere. I can get a Allstate jacket. Why can't they give me an Allstate jacket if I'm playing in Austin or if I'm playing in Des Moines? I don't. Is there something other than that?
I don't know what all the the math or the economic thing about all the bowl games with the Cotton Bowl. Like, there's obviously like a committee. I don't know if they're a committee or if it's like an entity.
What is a committee? I mean, I don't even need a committee. Why do I need a committee? I'm playing there because it's not like the old days where some fat guys who are friends at certain schools pick your team to come play there. I'm coming to Dallas no matter what. Fat guy, why are you on the payroll? But, I mean, it is what it is. It's one of the weird things. I don't think it's a good thing of college football. I think it's one of the weird, stupid things of college football. Mike Neiman tweets, radical extra time idea. All right? Create space for playmakers. First extra time is 10 minutes of 10 on 10. Still tied. Next 10 minutes is 9 on 9. You know, I've seen ideas like this, actually. And, well, how long do we go? Is it eventually one-on-one and 120 yards? It's like, the field doesn't shrink. It's a big field.
Yeah, they did this for hockey. They started doing three-on-three for overtime instead of the five-on-five to create more space and hopefully more goals.
More goals. And
yeah.
Well, that would do it. I mean, on a soccer field, playing one man down feels like they've just increased the length of the field by like 50 yards. It feels like you do that much more running. Because you're talking about a field that's 120 by, could be close to 60. I didn't know hockey did that. Dang. Okay, so do we start with 11, and then if we're tied at 10 minutes, we then go to 10, and then another 10 minutes, we go to 9?
I think you should start at 10, or maybe even start at 9.
That's pretty cool. You know what that would create? It would create either a goalkeeper or a substitute goalkeeper who can sort of play on the field and play in goal. All of a sudden, you would want him to be coming out as an extra defender, which Germany had a guy like that. They call him sweeper keeper. He could run around all over the place. He was great with his feet. But that's what you would get out of that game. Okay. I'd like that better than penalty kicks. I really do. I think fans would like that better than penalty kicks. I don't know about the players. Can they get a couple more subs? Because that would be, oof. At Jason Barr, 090674 tweets, Tech has been foolish, but the head coach in Austin stuck his toe in it as well. He directed it at Tech. I think someone finally convinced him to stay away from the Lubbock gossip. He better win, or it might be a similar situation in Austin in January. Yeah, I agree with a lot of that. Steve Sarkisian's not going to get fired no matter what. I'm not going to say no matter what. Let me stop there. I doubt that he gets fired. They don't make the playoff. It's absurd. Not making it a year ago, I think, is absurd. No excuses. I agree with you, though. I thought that comment, for a guy that didn't make the playoffs, I thought that was a jackass comment. Completely unnecessary. And it is weird because he is a sharp guy. And usually well-spoken. And the Texas backups would not win the Big 12, which is what he said. They wouldn't. There's barely any backups anymore at all. But that was I agree with you. I thought that was a really bad look and completely unnecessary. And it didn't do any good. I thought I'll take it even further. As I've said a few minutes ago, I think his whole whining summer about schedules, I don't know if he's trying to get leverage now just in case his team loses two or three games. He's trying to politic. I don't know what he's doing, because I don't think it's a good look at all. Playing tough games, acting like you don't need tough games, sucks for the fans. Fans should be furious about that. I hear you, though. He better win, or it might be a similar situation in Austin in January. I don't know what you mean by that. I mean, are they going to play a gambling quarterback? I mean, surely they wouldn't be that stupid also. Let's see, agree on penalty kicks. Yeah, good. I feel like if the U.S. goes to penalty kicks, I'm going to wish I would have saved that rant for penalty kicks. Because that's going to suck for them. But unfortunately, it is exactly what Bosnia would like. If Sweden could find a way to catch the French players to stop them from scoring, they would love to say, we'll take penalty kicks right now. Please don't make us chase you anymore. It's like, you know, in basketball, right, a team can run a zone and pack the paint, right? But you can still make three-point shots. In soccer, you can put enough bodies in that box, and you're not going to be able to score from 30 yards out against world-class goalkeepers. That's the problem. That's the difference between, quote, a zone in soccer versus, quote, a zone in basketball. You make three-point shots. You're not going to be able to stand 30 yards away and just say, shoot. It won't work out. And so it's, I'm afraid the game tomorrow night, I really love that people have enjoyed the way the U.S. team has played because they do get up and down the field. They have scored goals. I thought the way they defended against Iran is inexcusable and terrible. And I love that people have enjoyed it. You see the speed. You see how they play. They put it on the wings and they say, run past people and then serve it in the middle. And they got to do that can score. I'm afraid that game tomorrow night, I hope I'm wrong. I'm afraid Bosnia succeeds in making it ugly because that's the goal. It'd be like the Pistons, you know, throwing Lambeer out there to try to knock as many dudes down with elbows as possible. So it's an interesting test for the U.S. because that's just part of life. You know, I mean, there's goons in hockey, there's goons on a soccer field, and can you deal with it? Can you make them miss? Can you run around them? Can you pass it well enough to wear them out? It's a real measure of your discipline and skill. Because what they'll try to do is, they know the ball goes to a guy like Christian Pulisic, he's going to point his face at you, tease you with the ball, and then go in a dead sprint right by you. They'll foul him. And they're going to say, foul him in midfield. Foul him bad enough, but not so bad you get kicked out. Kind of how it is. I hope I'm wrong. I hope it doesn't look ugly because I think people like that it looks, you can follow the game now because you see the flow, you see the speed. They have finally played a way where they can win over fans. And they, yes, they should win tomorrow night. None of this, oh, it's so cute that they made it this far. That's ridiculous. By the end of this, the three host nations should all advance. Absolutely. All right, 512-834-1027 on Twitter at Jeff Ward Show.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements, afternoons 4 to 6 on 1027 ESPN.
You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
Sometimes kids play with pretend guns. It's up to us to make sure they don't play with real ones. Keep yours stored locked and unloaded. Learn more at nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nfamily fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Jeff and Ed Show on 1027 ESPN.
On Twitter, it's at Jeff Ward Show. Yeah, this is not something I think most of you would guess, but we'll play the game anyway. So far, leading up to, I think, trying to look at when these numbers were measured. So Fox has had the World Cup. If you've watched the game closely, I giggle every time because I'm happy that the crowd is doing it. They boo for the hydration breaks. Good. They booed today because a hydration break was necessary, you know, because it was 68 degrees in AT&T Stadium for Norway and Ivory Coast. And so the crowd booed because it's just stupid. It's an excuse to sell ad time, and it's not what normally happens. It's only that. There's no situation a referee would ever look up and go, you know, the air conditioning is a little rough in here, so let's take a break, elite athletes. Every one of them on the field would say, it just, you ruin the flow of the game. It just, they don't do that. And so the crowds are booing, which is great. But if I ask you, based on Fox's released ratings, name the three highest rated markets so far for the World Cup. I don't know why number one is number one. I mean, there's got to be a connection. All right, give up already? Let's see. Dallas is fourth. San Diego, followed by San Diego, San Francisco, Atlanta, Richmond, D.C., and St. Louis. Now, here's a hint. Dallas has been a great soccer town for a long time. St. Louis has been a great soccer town for generations. In the summers, I would get picked up by a club sponsored by Anheuser-Busch, and it's funny because St. Louis players have a look. They were, growing up, you played on Olympic development teams and stuff, you could pick out the St. Louis guys. It was uncanny, but it's always been a great soccer town. So that doesn't surprise me. 2-1 might surprise you. Austin is number two. Highest rated. In other words, the highest percentage of households are watching World Cup games. I don't know what to make of this. Now, number one is Kansas City. Now, their games are in Kansas City, aren't there?
There were, yeah.
There were. Not now.
I don't think so.
But, I mean, they're not games in Austin, and Austin's number two. That's great, but that's just not something I would have ever selected. In terms of share, and that would be of the TVs that are tuned in at the time of the game. This is not a measurement. Rating is a measurement of all television households. It's pretty much every house, right? A share means what's turned on at that time. And, you know, a lot of these are undervalued, and Fox knows this. You know why? Because people are watching in bars. I went to Auditorium Shores with 15,000 people. So, you know, Fox is making money. I'm just saying that they also realize that these are lower than what is real. But in terms of shares, Austin is tied with Kansas City. Mid-sized cities being the best soccer markets for the World Cup. Interesting. Now that would tell you why the MLS wanted a team here, even though the team is not very good. United States versus Australia, which was an afternoon game, drew an average of 16.5 million viewers. It's the second most English-watched, English-language World Cup match in history. Game one against Paraguay did 27 million. They're projecting now that the game tomorrow night it's going to surpass the NBA Finals, which was the latest Spurs-Knicks finals because of Wembanyama and the Knicks, is the highest rated series since, I think, 2016. The expectation is tomorrow night's U.S. soccer game will surpass that. They believe, and I don't know how accurate this is going to be, but the belief is that if the U.S. were to make it even further, that they would start seeing numbers in the 40 to 50 million range. Now you're getting into NFC, AFC territory. Championship games. Those are going to be 50, 60 million people. That'd be crazy. But to think Austin and Kansas City would be the best markets for the World Cup is... I knew it was a good soccer town. I did not know about Kansas City. And what is interesting, if you've watched the lead up to some of these games, you know who is prominently featured. Patrick Mahomes. He did the lead-in, was part of the broadcast in the lead-in for the first game, which was pretty cool. Now, I'm not saying he's the reason why people are tuning in. I'm just saying that there's a Kansas City connection there.
And probably Fox knew something about that Kansas City market if they were going to pull him.
Pull him, yeah. Yeah, no, that was, I was watching the big screen, I thought, wait, the game's about to start, and Patrick Mahomes is the one who throws it to the kickoff.
And Arrowhead was also the oldest stadium by a long shot to host, too. So
I'd be pretty miserable today.
Right.
Gosh. But I, you know, if you'd said to me San Antonio, if you'd said, no, not San Antonio, if you said to me Austin or St. Louis, I would have believed you. Because I know from growing up playing the game that those are two, certainly St. Louis even more so in terms of talent and club teams. Dallas is some of the best club soccer in the entire country. But same with St. Louis. That would make sense. Kansas City is pretty fascinating. All right, 512-834-1027. I don't know. I mean, why Austin? Why Austin? Because there's people from all over. It's a diverse market. I don't know how that explains Kansas City. I really don't know. Atlanta, Richmond, Washington, St. Louis, round it out. The Mexican national team does incredibly well in Austin as well. Austin led the way with a share of 22 with a number 2 rating in the entire country for Spanish language. This, I again would not have guessed. Do you know what so far is number 1 for Spanish language viewership?
Chicago?
I would have guessed a major city. So the game, Mexico's game against South Korea, Austin led the entire country with a share of 22. That means of TVs that are turned on, 22% of all of them are watching that game at that time. It was number 2 in the entire country. The match was the second most watched English language group stage match, not involving the United States. That was Mexico and South Korea, which was a boring game. 10 million viewers. The number 1 market for Spanish language is Kansas City. What the hell? Explain.
Maybe all the farms up there or something.
And you said Chicago, L.A. It only just pure numbers make sense. And you said to be Dallas more than Austin, I would have believed. Houston more than Austin, I would have believed. I mean, San Antonio, I'd believe. I believe all that before if you said Kansas City. I don't know much. I guess Fox is going to do something there, man. I'm going to be pretty happy about this. So, are they big numbers so far? Yeah, they're bigger than the NBA. They're not going to be NFL style, which goes to show you how huge the NFL is, man. I mean, you're having a once a 4-year event, and once every 4 years, and you're hoping to approach anywhere close to an NFL number, and that's true of all sports. I mean, the soccer tournament is going to surpass the NBA finals. All right, on Twitter, it's at Jeff Ward Show.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements. Afternoons 4 to 6 on 102.7 ESPN.
How do airplanes fly? What's in this box? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Learn how to store your gun securely and make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Check out the podcast page at 1027ESPN.com. Now back to the Jeff and Ed Show.
LeBron James is off to another place now. Let's see, how many stops would this be? We went Cleveland, Miami. Is it just Cleveland, Miami? Yeah.
Back to Cleveland, then to LA. Yeah.
Now, in a amicable divorce, reportedly, which makes perfect sense. I mean, the Lakers don't necessarily... they've already maxed out their money on 2 players. I guess they're not going to play any defense, but whatever. So, their games are going to be 150 to 148. But LeBron James reportedly has said, yeah, this is cool, and he ends up in the top 10 in most categories. In Lakers history, which is pretty wild considering he hasn't been there that long. So now he's going to go somewhere else. And I don't get the early report that Golden State would be it. It just depends on what... Does LeBron James want to do a Tom Brady and go get a trophy? Or does LeBron James want to just have a nice time and sing Kumbaya on his way out? I don't know which one it is. I'm feeling like it might be Kumbaya. you wanted to win a championship, would San Antonio take him? At a relatively discounted price? I think that would be kind of a good fit. I do. No, he doesn't get to be the star, but he gets to... I tell you what, of course, they needed some discipline down the stretch, to say the least. They needed some common sense instead of firing up threes up by 29. I think it might have been nice to have a LeBron James around. Might say, guys, stop doing that. That's really dumb. That's how you lose. I've been around long enough to know. Because apparently their coach can't tell him to stop. I mean, would that be a fit? I don't know if he wants to live in San Antonio. I mean, Dallas, nothing there for him. All right, here's the story, if you haven't followed this, that he told the Lakers, I love you guys, but I'm out.
What more can you tell us about how LeBron came to the decision that he wants to play again, but it...
Kyle likes the ads. He does it on purpose. He likes the pizza ads. He really likes the Progressive ads, which I think Progressive might own 90% of ESPN at this point. Here we go. Nope. Kyle has to watch three more ads first. So I don't even know that people really care that much. It's kind of amazing. I don't think it's moving the needle that much. I think Tom Brady's move from New England to Tampa Bay moved the needle more, and it made perfect sense. He picked a place where he could play and not necessarily put up the greatest numbers, but he picked a place where they're good enough on defense and he had enough help where they might win it all.
What more can you tell us about how LeBron came to the decision that he wants to play again, but it won't be with LA?
LeBron James made the decision on Tuesday here that he will enter free agency. But not only that, he has decided to leave the Los Angeles Lakers. Rich Paul, his agent, informed Rob Pelinka, the Lakers' president of basketball operations, that the Lakers can move on with their offseason because LeBron James is moving on with them. He is leaving after 8 years. He led them to a 2020 NBA championship. And so LeBron James had to first sift through whether he wanted to play another year, and all indications were he was going to do that. So a record unprecedented 24th NBA season awaits LeBron James at the very least, but then it was about where he was going to do it. And obviously there's been a lot of different moves over the last year or so with the Lakers, different priorities with the Lakers. Luka Doncic, Austin Reeves, we know they're both on max contracts and their organization had decisions to make. And so before it can get to a point where the Lakers had to take time and wait, LeBron James made the decision for them. Now both sides can move on with their offseason. And so why? I'm told this is a happiness-led decision for LeBron James. He feels like he needs to find his happiness elsewhere. And wherever he lands in free agency, it will not be driven by money, according to sources. And so it was a bumpy finish for him with the Lakers at different points, even though at the age of 41, he led the Lakers out of the first round pretty much by himself as that star player with Reeves and Luka Doncic out. But now, 8 years later, in L.A., that's the most time he's ever spent with a team. He told the Lakers today that they can move on because he is moving on elsewhere. LeBron James will play for a new team in season 24.
He can play. He'll help. He'll help. No argument. I don't know what this means. He's said he wants happiness. What are we talking about here? Is happiness in San Antonio goes to Dick's last resort?
He wants to get away from his son. Too much time.
Yeah. Yeah, I kept waiting today. I think people are probably thinking the same thing. What does that mean? His kid's going wherever? Is he finding happiness too with dad? I think that's good for both. I thought it was a terrible idea from the beginning, for dad and son. I mean, that's just a bad idea. Mrs. James surely said, look, you love your kid. That's great. You want to play together. That's cool, too. But it's not good for him. So I don't know what that means. He's looking for happiness. Okay. You know, here's something we've not been able to say in a few months. Brendan Sorsby has made a good decision. It's reported now the NFL Players Association and quarterback Brendan Sorsby will not be pursuing litigation after the NFL's decision to not hold a supplemental draft this year. This is reported by ESPN now. It would have been another ridiculous move on top of plenty of ridiculous moves if this guy's attorney, at some point, Brendan Sorsby had to say, stop it, please. I need to try to get in that league. And oh, by the way, I'm not in the Players Association. I'm not a player yet. So, good. That was going to go nowhere. It would have been a dumb move. Would not have helped him. Would not have endeared him to the NFL. The NFL, everyone wanted to read everything in the letter, the brutal letter to him. But people glossed over the very end. And I think it was very intentional. And that is, it was the NFL's way of saying, kid, you're toxic right now. Get out of here. And hopefully next year, you get a chance. The last sentence of the letter said, we invite you to apply in the 2027 draft or 28. So suing them wasn't going to help you get there. You weren't going to win, and it's not a good idea. You don't need that cartel to dislike you. So this is one of the few sensible moves in this kid's world over the past several months. Then he'll be draft eligible for the 2027 draft. He will not be eligible to sign an NFL player contract until the completion of the 2027 draft. It is a quirky thing about the NFL. To get into the league, you have to go through the draft process. The supplemental draft is just made up so guys that got screwed over in college could get into the league. It's happened before. So not only that, the CFL, of all things, I have no idea if they're playing right. Are they playing right now? Who knows? The CFL said, thanks, but no thanks. We don't need you here. The UFL has offered him a contract. Take it. Take it. Go to work. Shut up and go to work. He hasn't been the one talking, to be fair. He is not the one that's been popping off. He has done a masterful job of keeping his mouth shut. Take the job. Either go to junior college if you can, but I think going to the UFL would be a better gig. You need the paycheck. The NFL, you're not that far from the NFL. That's the smart thing to do. So the UFL team that has invited him, that wants to offer him a contract, is the, oh boy. Oh boy.
Is it Houston?
He won't leave us. Like, this guy's just like, it's Dallas. Oh no. I can't help but think it. I'm thinking it. I'm going to think it out loud. Who would sign him? He's just going to go from one apartment complex in Dallas to another apartment complex in Frisco. He's just going to move down the interstate or down the toll road.
Technically, I think that Dallas team plays at the old Rangers ballpark right across the street from AT&T.
They're playing a baseball field?
Yeah.
Ugh. How does that work?
Well, I mean, it's
the outfield?
It's not a baseball field anymore, but
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, take it. Do that. I mean, I don't know what the junior... Here's the risk in going to junior college. The team can be awful, and you can't. He can't afford to look bad right now. He needs to... He's on a 6-month tryout. One, to be clean and not bet. And two, to be out of the news cycle. And then three, to play some decent football. Take it. God knows Jerry Jones will call you. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so it's reported by Yahoo. Welcome to the UFL, Brendan Sorsby, says Mike Rapoli, co-owner of the UFL. I thought The Rock owned the UFL.
I think he was the XFL whenever they were doing that. It's been like
Did he go away?
I think it's like a conglomerate now, the UFL, the USFL, the XFL, or all
this. Is he out of it now? Is he not in the business anymore?
Not 100% sure.
Remember he did that whole thing with his ex-wife or whatever? It was a funny thing. All right, so the Dallas Renegades. Welcome to the Dallas Renegades. Have your people call my people. Wow, that's very businesslike of you. Just do it. Do it. I don't know what the pay is. Is their season's over?
Yeah, it's over.
Oh, boy. Still do it. See if you can get a paycheck right now. Get an apartment. Don't take Jerry Jones's phone calls for a while. Do this. Tell everyone to leave you alone. Get your life in order. It might work out for you. All right, Trey Elling is up next. Tonight via Zoom is Sarah Palin.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements. Afternoons 4 to 6 on 102.7 ESPN.